We're going to look at Jonah chapter 2, verse 9. Just the word salvation is of the Lord. Salvation comes from the Lord. One of the most sound pieces of doctrine that Jonah ever uttered. He learned it in a very strange theological college, not the Welsh Evans School of Theology, not London Theological Seminary, not even PFS. He learned the sound doctrine in the belly of a big fish. You remember the story? Jonah was commanded by God to go and preach the word of God to Nineveh, but he disobeyed that command and decided instead to go and spend a few weeks' holiday in Spain. But on the way to Spain, there was a violent storm sent by God. It hit the ship and threatened to sink it. Eventually, Jonah woke up to the fact that he was the cause of the trouble. He was the cause of the storm, that he'd sinned against God, and realizing the gravity of his sin, and fearing that he could never be used again, he told the sailors to throw him overboard. And that is what they did. But in the providence of God, he was swallowed by this big fish. Could ever a man have been in a worse position physically? But his condition physically down there in the belly of the big fish was really a picture of his spiritual condition as well. He was down in the depths spiritually, at rock bottom. And the only thing he could do in that condition was to turn back to the Lord and cry to him for help. Why did he cry to the Lord for help? Well, because he realized that only the Lord could save him from that appalling plight. He got himself into that mess by his own disobedience. Only the Lord could get him out of that mess. He realized, as never before, that salvation entirely depended upon the Lord. So he uttered this amazing statement, salvation is from the Lord. Whether you're talking about a person being saved for the first time from the guilt and punishment of sin, or whether you're talking about a person being saved from a period of backsliding, only the Lord can do that. From first to last, our salvation is entirely due to the Lord. That is the truth, which Jonah learned in a big way in the belly of the big fish. It's taught in many other places of the scripture as well. You get the same truth in Psalm 3, verse 8. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Same truth, Psalm 3, verse 8. You get it in Isaiah 43, verse 11. God says, I am the Lord, and beside me, there is no Savior. Besides me, there is no Savior. When we come to the last book of the Bible, as we've seen with the children, Revelation chapter 7, verse 8, we're given a glimpse of that great crowd of people in heaven from every tribe and nation. And we're told that they cry with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne. That is what the saints in heaven all affirm, that their salvation is entirely due to the Lord and his grace and power. Now let's look together at that, this wonderful truth. You see, some people think that salvation is entirely of themselves. They really believe that they'll reach heaven entirely because of their good deeds, because of their efforts to help needy people, because of their church attendance, because of their religious ceremonies. They really do believe that by their own efforts, they will reach heaven. Salvation is entirely of themselves, they think. Others think that their salvation is half and half. 50% the Lord's work and 50% theirs. That's the position of many religious people who believe that they will arrive in heaven through faith in Christ, plus their own good deeds, plus their church attendance, plus the religious ceremonies they've been through. It's a 50-50 job between them and the Lord. Others believe that 95% of their salvation is the Lord's work, but just a little bit, 5% maybe, is down to them. But the Bible teaches us that salvation, from first to last, is entirely due to the Lord and His grace and His power. Entirely due to the Lord and His grace and His power. I want to try and show that to you this morning. Let me spell that out. First of all, the Lord planned our salvation. No human being assisted God in the planning of our salvation. No human think tank advised him that he should do it. No human think tank advised him how to do it. No angel even came up with a suggestion that God should save us. No angel even advised him how to save us. The Bible teaches us that God planned our salvation before the foundation of the world, before time began, before men and women were created, before even the angels were created. God planned our salvation way back then. He looked into the future, and he foresaw that men and women whom he intended to create would fall into sin, and without any human aid or angelic assistance, God planned our salvation. Now, you remember how Isaiah puts this in a very apt way. He says, "Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or as his counselor has taught him." With whom did he take counsel? Who instructed God? Who told him what to do? And the answer is, absolutely no one at all. No one told him that he ought to save us. No one told him how to save us. The planning of the salvation was entirely due to the Lord. And the wonderful, amazing, astounding, unspeakably glorious thing is this, Christian friends, that when God planned this salvation, he included you and me in this plan. Because the Bible says we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's so vast that we cannot begin to understand it. But it's true. Our salvation was entirely planned by God. Secondly, the Lord purchased our salvation. He and He alone purchased our salvation from sin and guilt and hell. You see, salvation is absolutely free. Absolutely free. It doesn't cost us a penny piece. But that does not mean that it's cheap. It costs the Lord so much to purchase our salvation for us. He left heaven and came to this world in the person of His Son. The Lord of glory laid aside all that heavenly splendor. The Lord of glory vacated the throne of the universe and came to this foul, evil world and lived among men and women a perfect life. And after 33 years in this world, he made his way to a hill just outside Jerusalem, the hill called Calvary. And there on that hill he was nailed on a wooden cross, the Lord of glory. And there on that cross he died alone to bear the punishment of sin, so that sinners like you and me might be saved. He did all that needed to be done to pay the price of our sin. He did it all alone. The full price, the full penalty of sin was laid upon him. And he did it all alone. No one helped him in this work of purchasing our salvation. No one shared the burden with him. Isaiah 69 verse 3 puts it like this. The Lord speaks, I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. The purchase of our salvation was entirely of the Lord. And that needs to be stressed in these days, because there are some people who say, yes, Jesus is a wonderful person, and if you want to be saved and forgiven and get to heaven, you must turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you must believe on him, and you must trust him, but you must look to other people as well. You must look to Mary as well. She, they say, is a co-mediator, co-mediatrix. You must look to her as well as Jesus. Others say you must look to the Pope or the priest as well. They will give you absolution. They will give you forgiveness. If you really want to be saved and be a very special Christian, you must look to some special apostle, as they call him, and he'll lay his hands upon you, and you really will be saved. You must look to somebody else besides the Lord Jesus Christ. But the teaching of the Bible, from cover to cover, is that the Lord Jesus Christ alone has paid for our sin. The Lord Jesus Christ alone has made full atonement for our sin and secured our salvation. He went to the cross alone. Mary wasn't there with him on the cross when he died. The Pope wasn't there with him on the cross when he died. Some high-powered apostle was not there on the cross when he died. Jesus died there alone. We used to think about that years and years and years ago when I was saved. Far dearer than all that the world can impart is the message that came to my heart, how that Jesus alone for my sin did atone. And Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and shame, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all. The Lord planned our salvation. The Lord purchased our salvation. I go further. Thirdly, the Lord performed our salvation. He performed the miracle. He performed the miracle. You see, the Lord planned our salvation before the world began. And the Lord purchased our salvation 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. But how did I become a Christian? How were you and I actually saved? 5 years ago? Or 10 years ago? Or 30 years ago? Or 40 years ago? Or even 50 years ago? How were you and I actually saved? You say, well, it was like this. I decided for Christ at the meeting to which I went. I decided for Christ. All right, praise God. But who enabled you to decide for Christ after years of indecision? You say, I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I knelt by my bed one night, and I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I put my trust in him. Very good. Praise God. But who made you believe in Jesus after years of unbelief? You say, well, I had a godly mother. And my godly mother told me Bible stories. And my godly mother kneeled with me by my bedside as a child and told me about Jesus. I had this godly mother and I believed on Jesus. Praise God for that. But who ordained that you should have a godly mother when thousands of kids have ungodly parents who never read the Bible to them and never pray for them? You say, my eyes were opened one day and I saw the glorious truth of the gospel as I was reading the Bible. Praise God. But who opened your eyes? to see the truth after years of blindness. So I came to church one Sunday night. And that Sunday night, the preacher preached with unusual power, and I was wonderfully converted. Praise God. But who drew you along to church that night? And who enabled the preacher to preach with unusual power? You see, it's the Lord who performs the miracle, as well as planning, as well as purchasing. It's the Lord who performs the miracle. We were spiritually dead. Dead people can't do anything. And the Lord performed this great miracle in our lives. It was the Lord's doing. He prompted us to come to church that day. He empowered the preacher to preach with unusual power. He moved that godly mother to read you that Bible story. He performed the miracle. We sing about it. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Saviour and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. 'Tis done. The great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and He is mine. He drew me. And I followed on, charmed to confess the voice divine. Not only in the hymns, it's also in the Bible. Paul says in Ephesians 2, by grace you are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. By grace are you saved through faith. Before you start thinking, what a wonderful guy I am to believe. Through faith, by grace you are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Why are you a Christian this morning? Why am I a Christian? I sometimes lay awake at night thinking of the crowd of lads, the gang of lads I went around with in my wild youth. Motorcycle racing, speedway, cursing, drinking, swearing, and all that went along with that. As far as I know, I'm the only one of the gang ever to have been saved. I tried to do something about that, but as far as I know, I'm the only one of the gang who was saved. Why was my rebel heart subdued? Why was my guilty soul stirred? I was no better than the others. I was worse than the others because I did all of that. And there are guys of religion to try and cover it all up. So I was worse than all the others. Why am I saved? Often ponder that. Isaac Watts puts it like this. Why was I made to hear thy voice and enter while there's room, while others make a wretched choice and rather starve than come? 'Twas the same love that spread the feast that drew me gently in, else I had still refused to taste and perished in my sin. It was the Lord's doing. He planned our salvation. He purchased our salvation. He performed the miracle. Then, fourthly, the statement by Jonah also means that the Lord preserves our salvation. Having saved us, He's the one who keeps us saved. Some of us here have been Christians for many, many years. And through those long years, we've faced many temptations and many trials and many difficulties and many attacks from the devil. He has attacked our souls many, many times. He's tried his hardest to destroy our faith. But here we are, still going on with the Lord. We've stumbled many times. We've drifted many times. We've backslidden many times. Like Jonah, we've been fools and we tried to run away from God at times. But here we are, still following the Lord. Is it because of our own strength? Is it because of our own power? I don't know about you, but left to myself, I would have drifted away from the Lord years and years ago. Why was Jonah still a child of God in spite of his terrible disobedience? Here's the answer. The Lord had preserved him. The Lord had held him. The Lord had kept him going. Peter puts it like this. In his first epistle, he says, we are kept by the power of God unto salvation. We are kept by the power of God unto salvation. So we sing with a man called George Matheson, a hymn which begins, O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. And his soul was weary. Poor man, he'd gone blind. His sight had failed him. He'd been jilted. His fiancée had failed him. He was getting confused. Read some things that George Matheson wrote toward the end of his life, and you can tell that he was confused. His mind was beginning to fail him. What kept him going? O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in you. If you tell me it's all up to me and my effort, then all is hopeless. There's no comfort there at all. Suppose my sight fails. Suppose my strength fails. Suppose all my friends fail me. Suppose my mind begins to fail. Suppose I begin to get senile and doddery and demented. If you tell me it's all up to me, there's no comfort there. But the comfort that the Christian has is this. Having saved us by his death upon the cross, having saved us by a great miracle of grace, the Lord will preserve that salvation to the very end and beyond. And then lastly, salvation is of the Lord. That means he will perfect it. He will complete it. You see, our salvation is not complete yet. It has all been paid for fully by the death of Christ. But as far as we're concerned, it's not perfect yet. My soul has been saved from the guilt of sin. My soul has been saved from the bondage of sin. But as Christians, we still live in the sinful world with all the ravages of sin. Our bodies are still subject to the ravages of sin. I have to wear specs. I have to wear hearing aids. I guess a lot of folks here are on tablets to keep their blood pressure down. We're living still in this sinful world. Our souls are saved if we're Christians. We're on the way to heaven if we're Christians. But we're still living in this sinful world with all the ravages of sin, and our bodies are still afflicted by the ravages of sin. But one day, the Lord will perfect our salvation. The Bible teaches quite clearly that one day the Lord Jesus Christ will return to this world with great power and glory. And when he returns to this world, all those who died believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, their bodies will be raised. And their bodies will be raised as perfect bodies. And they'll be reunited with their souls, which are already in heaven. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, those who are still alive as Christians, they will be changed in a moment, in a second. And their souls will be made perfect. And their bodies will be made perfect. And then forever and forever and forever, Christians will live with the Lord Jesus Christ in eternal glory in that new heavens and the new earth, where everything is perfect. No more pain, no more suffering, no more sickness, no more sadness, no more separation. A perfect life with God in the eternal kingdom. And we'll spend eternity serving Him and praising Him and living for Him with the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll perfect our salvation. Now that is what Jonah learned afresh in the belly of the big fish. Salvation comes from the Lord. He planned it. He purchased it. He preserves it. He performed the miracle. He preserves it. And He will perfect it one day. Now, what effect should this have upon us? All good theology should have a profound effect upon our lives. What effect should this have upon our lives? Well, first of all, it should humble us, shouldn't it? It should humble us. There is nothing more monstrous, there is nothing more ridiculous, there is nothing more inconsistent than a man who says that he believes this great truth with his head, yet is proud and arrogant about it. Sadly, over the years, I've met people like that. They've come to see this great truth, that their salvation is entirely due to the Lord. But they're proud and they're arrogant. They've seen this and they look down their noses as other people are a bit more confused. Well, that's madness. If we say that we've come to see that our salvation is entirely due to the grace of God, that should have a humbling effect upon us. That should make us very, very lonely. There is nothing that we have done to earn God's favor. There is nothing that we have done or can do to earn God's forgiveness. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless. Look to thee for grace, foul. I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. So this truth should keep us humble. A proud, arrogant Christian is a contradiction in terms. Then this truth that salvation is of the Lord should drive you, my non-Christian friend, should drive you to the Lord Jesus Christ. If your salvation from hell, if the forgiveness of your sin, if your arrival in heaven depends absolutely and entirely on the Lord Jesus Christ, if there is nothing you can do to save yourself, then that should drive you to the Lord Jesus Christ to plead with Him to have mercy upon you and save you. If I was desperately ill, if you told me that there was one doctor in the UK, one specialist who could cure me from that desperate illness, if you told me I could never make myself better, but he's the only man who can help you find a cure for this illness that you've got, I would go to that doctor without delay. I would plead with him to help me. I would tell him, I've got no money to pay you for the treatment. I can't possibly pay anything for the treatment. But I plead with you to take me on. And I plead with you to give me the treatment. And I plead with you, look kindly upon me and rescue me from this terrible disease before I die. And if, as the Bible tells us, Jesus Christ is the one and only Savior, that should drive us to go to Him and to plead with Him to save us and to forgive us. To say, Lord, I know that I can't do anything to save myself. Lord, I recognize I'm a desperate sinner. I've sinned against you so many times. I recognize there's nothing I can do to buy myself right with God. There's nothing I can do to gain a place in heaven. I'm just utterly helpless. Lord, I plead with you to look in mercy upon me and to forgive my sins. I know that you died upon the cross. I know that you paid all the fees. I've got nothing I can give you. I just plead with you to forgive my sins and to save me and to make me a child of God. And then, when that happens, I trust you'll spend the rest of your life thanking and praising the Lord for his wonderful salvation. Christians, do you do that every morning when you get up? Do you thank the Lord for saving you? Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me your great salvation, so rich and free. And Lord, as long as you spare me, I'll spend my time telling other people that Jesus Christ is their one and only hope of salvation. Salvation comes from the Lord. That's the most important truth that Jonah ever learned. The most important truth that we could ever learn. Let's pray together.